You are now listening to the Bullseye podcast brought to you by AFI Advisors. Sit back, get comfy, and keep all arms and legs inside the vehicle when in motion. And now, here is Josh, Peter, and Brian.
Good morning, everyone. It is March 9th, and we are a day late for International Women's Day.
That makes sense. We're guys.
Typical men, right?
What? We just didn't want to ask for directions.
Yesterday was my mom's birthday, March 8th.
That's awesome. Yesterday was my dad's birthday.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. High five, birthday parents.
Happy birthdays to everybody.
Yeah, happy birthday to everyone. Today's going to be interesting, I think, because in honor of International Women's Day, I think that everyone wants to hear us talk about it. Three dudes. So
mansplaining Women's Day.
International Women's Day. So
we apologize in advance.
We do apologize. We'll just see what happens.
We'll also celebrate domestic women, too. I don't want to just celebrate non-American women and International Women's Day.
Brian, I see what you did there. It took me a minute on that one.
I was a little worried he was going with domesticated.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Wow, we are off to a bad start.
I was really confused for a second, and then I got it.
Yeah.
He's
out there.
Quick and witty. So quick and witty. Well, we attended the Distinguished Citizens Dinner, and
it was a lot of fun. I'm 90% sure Robert invited us just to see him get an award.
Yeah, they got an award.
They did.
Which was
awesome.
On stage.
Yeah.
And I don't remember what the award was for. I think it was just like an annual giving award.
They helped
some
Boy
sorts.
Scouts so much.
Right.
Robert's a former Eagle Scout and very involved in a lot of those. I'm a former Eagle Scout and part of the Sequoia Council Board, and you know, a lot of times these organizations do cumulative lifetime contributions,
right?
And as you reach certain levels of contribution, both in monetary and in time spent, you know, they recognize you, and he's put a lot of work in for them. And you know, Scouts had a very meaningful impact on my life, but that being said, my boys aren't into it, so you never know.
I'm pretty sure one of the prouder moments of my dad's life was getting kicked out of Boy Scouts.
I did. I felt like I bonded with Kenny Hawkins from WJHL.
Yeah.
He kind of emceed the event.
And he was good, too.
Yeah, he was good. He was great. And he was telling this story about him being in the Boy Scouts. And I felt like I could relate to this with him because he was talking, and evidently he just made it to a Weeblo, which is Cub Scouts, not Boy Scouts. So he was getting a lot of heckling for that, and I was like, man, I only made it to a Weeblo, so I'm not even a real Boy Scout.
I thought you were uncharacteristically quiet.
Yeah, it's like you've been lied to your whole life, and then they pull the veil, and it's like, I never really was a Boy Scout.
But they talked a little bit about the Camp Davy Crockett.
Oh, there's a huge facility.
It's huge, and looks like it's got all kinds of things. You could spend the rest of your life there and have plenty of stuff to do.
I spent many summers there, and they're finally, under the leadership of Greg Leach, who's the current district executive, they've been able to do some things down there. They've got brand new mess hall. They've got new pavilions. They're in the process of putting in, you know, a couple new ranges. You know, there's ropes courses.
Don't they have a sniper range too?
He's working on
it. Okay.
And so Greg is an elite shooter. He competes in, you know, these competitions. And they're looking to get like a mile-long sniper range down there. Because how many places can you go and practice sniping?
Right.
Other than in video games.
But so, we do have a lot of places you can go snipe hunting.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Brian, cough it up.
Sorry.
Snipe hunting.
Yeah.
which if anyone's curious about that, let me know and
I'll get
you the details.
I've looked. Josh had me looking the other night. I could not find one.
Were you clapping three times?
Oh, that may have been the issue.
They're hard to catch.
They're hard to catch, apparently.
They're very quick. They're clever.
Great at camouflage. I didn't even see one.
Yep.
I'm so sorry I interrupted your story.
No.
For something so stupid.
If you're a Boy Scout and you've not been on a snipe hunt, I don't know, you know, what you've been doing. But no, it's a great program. You know, regardless of, you know, it's so hard to disconnect the, you know, national problems with big organizations like this. But the local one, the Sequoia Council, does a tremendous job. And, you know, nothing but good experiences there. And, you know, it's such a fundamental thing that we're moving away from. You know, anything that can get our kids away from their screens, mm-hmm. you know, is just a positive thing. So,
yeah.
Camp David Crawford, great, great facility. A lot of fun there.
Yeah, it's great to be proactive, I think, in getting them involved with things that builds character, responsibility, teamwork, you know, all of those things instead of gaming it up on the cellular phone.
I think we could probably use something outside, too. I spend way too much time on screens.
Well, we're gonna start frisbee golfing.
Yes, we are.
Oh, I used to.
Or disc golf. Yeah.
So I live in front of a hole one for the disc golf.
Okay.
At Warriors. So Josh and I have decided we're gonna take that up this year.
I'm gonna get on Amazon and buy like a whole, what's it called? Spread of frisbees. So they're not clubs.
So after we talked about it, I started looking into it, and there's a lot to frisbee golf. There, you've got putters, you've got long range. Mm-hmm. They all arc left unless you have certain ones that could arc right. I guess for Peter, if you're throwing left-handed, it's the opposite.
I actually throw that one right-handed.
Okay.
My weirdness continues with which hand does what. But actually, the Warriors course is nationally recognized.
Oh, yeah.
And
is it really hard?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
You got trees everywhere.
Well, we can't
everywhere.
Go to that
Well,
one.
Once we get good at it, the rest of them will just be super easy.
Are there any local that are kind of in
wide open spaces? Wing Deer's not bad.
Yeah.
I went through high school with a guy named Tim Austin, and he was a nationally ranked disc golf person for a while.
That's a thing?
Yes. Oh, it's a huge thing.
Like you were saying, they do go to Warriors, and they'll have like a group of people following them, and there's always that one guy that's 10 feet behind the group eating a hot dog.
Well, they do. You know, it's weird what Kingsport has. Like we get the national putt-putt competition every now and again at the place out on Stone Drive.
And it's a legit putt. It's like the one in Bristol, right?
Yeah, there's no windmills. Yeah. You know, it's just putting skill.
Well, they have those metal bars that go up the side, so it makes it easier to bounce it off. With the brook, it kind of makes it unpredictable.
Yeah. But it's, disc golf is fun. Probably throw my back out even worse if I tried to now.
You just want to follow us around with a hot dog when we go?
That would be my role. You see, and you're not allowed to have a disc golf cart, you know. So
it'd be hard with those little paths that you have to go.
We have digressed.
I guess we'll give it a go. We'll see what happens.
You know, we said it was National Women's Day, and then we immediately started talking about Boy Scouts.
Yeah, that's a problem.
So, okay, then let's circle back, shall we?
Yeah, let's hit it.
Okay, so what I was doing around 6 a.m. this morning is what any normal 38-year-old male would probably be doing.
Wall Street Journal.
Oh,
absolutely.
We're converting him slowly but surely. Yeah.
So I was just laying there. I was laying in bed and kind of flipping through the articles, current events. And I did end up on Wall Street Journal. And I was reading this article they had published about, you know, women rejoining the workforce.
Okay.
And I don't know that this is necessarily something I would stop and read at 6 a.m. I'm usually the guy that flips to the sports pages right off the bat. But as I started reading it, it became incredibly interesting to me. So the title of this is Women's Return to the Workforce Piles Momentum on a Hot Economy. And I know that after the pandemic and disruptions that, you know, it says women have gained more jobs than men for four straight months. the women's workforce is clearly on the rise, and American women are staging a return to the workforce and is helping propel the economy in the face of high inflation and these crazy interest rates. So I want to read this. It says, women have gained more jobs than men for four straight months, including in January's hiring surge, pushing them to hold more than 49.8% of all non-farm jobs. So this means something. Are we, men are now the minority workforce?
I think there's a lot of things, obviously, that go into this, right? But it starts even further back. If you look at women in universities and colleges, that trend, which has been going for a number of years now, is to the point where roughly it's 60% women to 40% men in college. And so, and women are more likely to finish college than men are. Imagine that.
Well, of course.
So if you are an HR manager, you know, you're starting to get to that point where more women are applying with college degrees than men are.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also, I think, been a recognition amongst certain companies that having more women on your team is beneficial for reasons above and beyond just the ability to do your job. So, you know, kind of like where we kicked it off and said the three of us are sitting here, you know, talking about it as men.
Right.
If you added a different perspective into a conversation, you know, do you get better results? And I think that's been one of those things. So I think there's a certain level of HR just, you know, if
we can test that theory. Yeah. We'll have this conversation today and next week. We'll bring a female into the mix.
Yeah.
See what happens.
I like that.
It would be interesting to hear the difference.
Yeah.
As far as just like the differentiating, like overall opinions.
But I mean, having women in the workforce is going to be a good thing because you figure the best of 100% of the population is going to be better than the best of 50% of the population.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think you can, you know, deny that. I do think that there's a huge amount of, you know, just obstacles. And I don't want to say that there's discrimination purely, you know, obviously there are people out there who discriminate. I only want to hire people like me or whatever it is. But employers do, you know, they rationalize decisions for a lot of reasons, and it hasn't always been fair to women. So, you know, the typical one would be like, well, if I've got two equally qualified people, but I think one of them, you know, is more likely to leave me in 3 years to start a family, then why would I hire? And that's
from the employer's perspective, it's an increased risk.
It is an increased risk. But there are also increased risks on the male side that get swept under the rug because it's been men doing most of the hiring. But we've also seen an increase of number of women in HR roles. And so they've, you know, those ratios are shifting on us. And we'll see what the impact is. You know, obviously, we're in a period of time where people want to have it all, you know, and whether or not that's possible, we're finding out, you know, because it's awful hard to say you want to be 100% in the workforce and 100% active at home, whether you're a man or a woman.
Absolutely.
And so that makes it really, really tough for a lot of you know, situational hiring.
Yeah.
But I think it, in the end, does nothing but good things.
Peter and I have talked about this before. It's the difference between a culture match and a culture ad. Having more perspectives, women, different groups to...
Right.
I mean, adding two cultures, very rarely a bad thing.
I'm always an all-hands-on-deck kind of guy. I believe the more, just ways of thinking, the more well-rounded of a result you're going to get for your answer, because to be able to hear and see everyone's point of view, I think is crucial to get you out of your comfort zone of what you consider is the norm or your point of view. So I do think the female sector in the workforce is crucial to that too.
Yeah.
It's very much like a yin yang. It's very
absolutely
balanced type deal.
So when I graduated college, I had about half of my class was male and half was female. My wife's going through it now, and the majority of her finance classes are female now. Hmm. So, Peter, you were a little bit before me. Do you remember?
It was very heavily female weighted when I went through my MBA. I would say my undergrad was more even. But, you know, there's a mix there. And, you know, I want to be really careful in how I say this. So everybody realize that I'm saying that everybody can do any job they want to or whatever it is. But the numbers play out, too, that in this surge of jobs that are considered more technical skills, you know, and technical skills isn't necessarily the right word, but like plumbers, masons, they skew more male-driven, and they don't require a college degree. And so
you're talking about trades.
Trade skills, exactly.
Trade skills,
They skew that way, and you can have great, you know, female auto mechanics and bricklayers and everything else. It's just the numbers tend to skew opposite of that. And if those don't require college degrees, they require apprenticeships and, you know, certification programs and things like that. I think you are going to see more, you know, women in the workforce. And the other thing is, I don't think that there's this huge pressure, or maybe it's just less pressure, for a female to leave high school or leave college, immediately find a man to take care of them, be at home in the you know, be a stay-at-home mom or whatever it is. So they're delaying families, and we are seeing that. Our birth rate is being dramatically affected by that. And then you just, you know, some decide, no, I want to be a career, you know, woman.
I did remember reading in that article about how they were talking about how the women population really took the brunt of the layoffs during COVID. And it was saying because of, you know, a little bit of what you were talking about. You're talking about certain skilled trade being more men than women. This article was talking about the women tended to have more jobs that were of close contact.
Yeah, and that makes sense. Hospitality.
And, and like
I think nurses was in there.
And home cleaners, and just they were in a lot of positions that were in close contact, which obviously during a global pandemic are probably going to be one of the first things nicked. So it talked a lot about how they took the brunt, I think, of the COVID hit from a professional or a job standard, and then
Same thing with childcare. It just skewed that way. So as daycares closed and you had two income home, stereotypically, and I understand that, you know, some men stayed home, a lot more were females staying home with the kids, and they are now getting back to that point where those kids can be either in school full time or back in daycare and they can re-enter the workforce at a higher rate.
Yeah.
It's something, you know, we look at it too, you know, a large portion of the assets that are out there, you know, we talk about this massive wealth transfer as the baby boomers transfer their wealth to millennials, right? And if we look at it, oftentimes, you know, the wealth of the world, we think about, you know, if you were to ask people who are the wealthiest people in the world, you know, your list is, you know, normally going to come out 100% male. Warren Buffett, Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, the princes of you know, Saudi Arabia, things like that. Some of the Walmart heiresses and Disney heiresses are up there. But it's not the trend, you know, with the bulk of just regular people assets, because women outlive men. They typically have that retirement income that was their spouse's, because we as men do dumb things.
Tend to go a little faster.
So, you know, if you lump our clients and say, you know, who are female clients, and if you said, like, on joint accounts that the female was the decision maker of that grouping, we're heavily weighted towards, you know, female clients. And we haven't always done a great job of educating people about finance in general, but we're still battling that whole thing of, you know, she doesn't need to know about that. The man will take care of it, which is the farthest thing from the truth.
Right.
So it's an interesting, you know, we'll see how these dynamics shift over the next couple of years. I think it's going to be massive.
Yeah, it's it's a big shift. And it started, and I think it started a while ago, but I think it's now getting to the point where it's starting to snowball some and pick up traction and make make bigger leaps than, you know, what it was before. But, you know, we talk a lot about finances and women in the workforce here behind closed doors, about how that landscape is changing, and something to just keep on the brain. And also, while you're keeping that on the brain, Brian, Peter said we are now going to go to 4-day work weeks.
Oh, nice. Do we get to pick our own day?
Everybody clap.
We'll figure out the details later, Peter. Yeah, don't worry about it.
Details later.
No.
I'll work on that.
This is a flashing Bullseye podcast exclusive. Like, this just in.
Fake news. You know, it's one of those things we have talked about, you know, how that's going to change the workforce. And I think COVID made it reality. If you can get your stuff done at home during COVID, you know, do you really need to be in the office for 5 days a week? And I guess we were having a little bit of a pre-conversation before we turned on record. And my comment was that the only opinion I ever see out there about the 4-day week is from the employee side.
Yeah.
And not that that's not valuable, but that there's a disconnect between what the employer is seeing and what the employee is seeing as productive.
Yeah. Which makes sense.
And so, you know, my argument always has been, you may think, well, I got all my tasks done, you know, and I can do that in 4 days if I book it, you know, versus five. And so I'm as productive in 4 days as five, but you may not be valuing what the employer is on that fifth day, or just even your presence in office is. And so we're going to have to figure this one out very heavily, you know, and I think AI is going to play into this too, you know, as more tasks get automated.
It also kind of piggybacks where, if you think about it, you can kind of shoot yourself in the foot, because we were talking about this too, where you're like, okay, great, you got all your stuff done in 4 days. Why am I paying you for five?
Well, we did talk about that. Yeah. You know, maybe I don't mind a 4-day work week.
Right.
But should I compensate you the same for a 4-day week as a 5-day week?
So you may want to be careful before you stir up that pot.
Because, I mean, in a lot of situations, you might have to hire an additional person to make – if everybody in this office, say there's six of us, took 1 day a week off, then there's going to be a day in there that at least two people are off, which is going to make it harder on a smaller business.
Right.
So we'd conceivably have to hire somebody else, which would have to come out of everybody's salaries, right?
Somewhere, yeah. Not coming out of my pocket. I'm just kidding. No, but I do think, you know, it's different for big companies versus small. I think that's a very true point. You know, when we see it, like when whatever this COVID variant, bronchitis, whatever thing, takes people out of the, you know, office, and it seems to take two or three of us, you know, at a time this year. It's not that the work doesn't get done, but it's definitely, you know, you pick up the phone, you're like, hey, hang there, I need to go pick up the phone on another line. And so it does. And one of the things that I've always thought about too with the 4-day work week is, and I don't want this to be a millennial thing. I think this is just people in general, you know, and can happen across all ages, is the people who advanced, or used to be, the people who advanced in companies did their job plus.
Yeah.
And so, hey, I got all my stuff done. Can I help you out? Is there anything extra I can do? Or, you know, you're available when somebody on your team or your boss is a little overwhelmed by the amount of stuff that needs to get done. They look around and say, hey, Brian, can you pick up this? I know it's not part of your role, but, you know, if you've got some time, that'd be really helpful. And you're not in office for that availability. And
you're not able to start working the job you want.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So as we see this transition, I wonder if we're going to get to a point where the people in the C-suite of these companies were the people who were willing to be there full-time, not demand remote work, things like that. Just we'll see where it plays out. I think it's very industry-dependent. We're obviously open 5 days a week because the stock market's
the
open
stock
five
market,
days
yeah.
a week.
Well, and we said that too, that it's not necessarily for everyone.
Right.
Well, on a personal note, I wouldn't be able to relax at home while the stock market's open.
Well, at one point they had talked about opening the stock market earlier. At one point they had talked about leaving it open on Saturdays. And, you know, that would dramatically affect our business on how we're running. You know, retail stores open potentially 7 days a week.
I mean, imagine if they changed it over to, like, the crypto thing where it's 24/7.
Right.
Like, that's totally different for our jobs then.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, I'm glad I have a couch in here.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, and
24/7.
You know, we've got daylight savings time this weekend, so maybe for the last time. So.
I thought the Sunshine
Protection Act was supposed to go into effect. Did it not get voted on in the House?
It didn't go all the way through.
Okay.
It still could.
Why can't we just seal this up, get this done?
Seriously, the amount of heart attacks go up after the time changes, the amount of car accidents.
Depression
increases.
Just
work productivity decreases.
Let's do the right thing.
Yeah.
Let's fix this daylight savings time.
And I may be like displaying my ignorance on farming here, but they always tell me that it's for farmers.
Originally, I don't understand that
because I feel like farmers would just get up when the sun, you know, before the sun came up, regardless of what time it was.
Whether it was an hour earlier or
later. If it was 7 or 6, they're getting up an hour before the sun comes up.
But they still had to deal with the markets and, you know, bringing them to, you know, crops to market and everything else. Mm.
Yeah, let's write a letter. I don't know.
Yeah.
What do we do? Let's just get this fixed. I feel like
let's just not change our clocks this year and see what happens.
I really do think like if there was ever a time when Americans wanted to actually protest something that's not, you know,
we can all get on board with this.
Let's all just protest this, you know, whole moving the clock thing.
Yeah. Let's spring forward one last time.
Yeah, spring forward and that's it. Never adjust your clock again.
I agree.
And it'll happen. Boom. Fixed like that.
I hope so.
It'd be fun explaining to the people who didn't jump on board with this. Oh, yeah, call me at 3:30, the real time, not the one you're using.
Not your fake time.
Not your fake time.
Yeah. It's I hope I'm holding out hope. It has bipartisan support, so we'll see where it goes.
Which is rare.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just don't understand what the deal is. This seems like it would just slide right through. Someone would, you know, sign it, officially stamp it, and we'll just move on.
There's some congressperson there going, well, I know everybody agrees with this, but I don't want to.
Maybe they just can't find a notary.
There's some lobbyist out there that's like, just, yeah.
Or it's like computer share and they need the bank medallion guarantee, which is a pain to get.
They're like, we'll just not worry about it.
Yeah, well, this was good. I think that maybe next week we can try to get a female in here, whether it be in-house or maybe a friend of ours or something, and just be nice to
educate us.
Yeah, educate us on what's going on.
We'll have them listen to this one, tell us where we went wrong.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, we woke up.
Yeah.
That's where we went wrong.
Be like, here is your homework. Listen to this episode.
Yeah. Yep.
Then you're going to come in and you're going to edumacate us on it. Or woman-splain us. Is that a thing? That's a thing.
I'm sure it is,
yeah.
Have y'all ever been woman-splained?
Oh, yeah.
I accept that I'm an idiot and move on.
Peter's just always like, yes, ma'am, sorry.
Happy wife, happy life. You know,
to be fair, I've never seen Kate be wrong about anything. So.
I haven't either.
Oh, man. Well, before we get too deep, we still got koozies. Email us.
You haven't gotten rid of these yet, John?
Not yet. Email us, connect@afiadvisors.com. We want to get you a koozie. We are sending some out today and tomorrow. I will be delivering. So,
I've got Chris's address for you.
Okay, good. Yeah, we're getting them out. They're cool. Everybody likes them. They're posting pictures of them. So don't miss out. It's the next thing. And go follow us on all of our social channels. Check out AFIAdvisors.com website. Pretty cool. A lot of information. We've got pictures on there of what we look like, in case you're wondering. If you've never seen us in person. We got pictures that are still pretty accurate.
They did a really good job taking our pictures. So, like, if you see us in real life, understand we're not quite up to that.
We're a little more polished online. But hey, everybody's doing it. But we will see you guys next week.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Bullseye Podcast. Do you want to sponsor the show? Or maybe be a guest? Contact us at connect@afiadvisors.com to get the conversation started. Thanks for all of the support. Cheers!